Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. As mentioned earlier, at the end of the Handicappers Report, a little bit later on, we'll be joined by Jim Byers, the announcer and the handicapper, does the pregame handicapping show every day down at Oaklawn with Nancy Holthus. So we'll have Jim on talking a little bit about a nice day down at Oaklawn with the Apple Blossom. Again, it's only a field of four, but you have Clarier and Secret Oath facing off. And then a little bit earlier, the nice sprint stake. That's a little more of an intriguing betting race, but we'll talk those stakes with Jim and also get his thoughts on the Arkansas Derby from a couple of weeks ago and Angel of Empire, who I like that day. And I like even more in the Kentucky Derby, having picked up some future wager action on Angel of Empire at 38-1. So get some of his thoughts on, again, a little preview and review of Oaklawn action. And then a little bit later on, John Piesek from the Maryland Breeders Association. We'll talk Laurel Racing today because there are Preakness implications there with the Tessio on the three-year-old boys side and Black Eyed Susan implications on the three-year-old filly side of things in the Weber City Miss and a couple other stakes on the card today down at Laurel as well. So we'll talk a little bit about that with John, all of that coming up. But I wanted to start out just some news and notes and whatnot. And one of the obvious things to hit on after yesterday is the Maker's Mark Mile, which was a little bit of an upset. Modern Games came into that yesterday. And I said, boy, it's nice. A weekday stake, a weekday grade one stake with a horse of the caliber of Modern Games coming back. That's what makes Keeneland so much fun. Saratoga is a similar situation. But yesterday at Keeneland, Modern Games, who had won the Woodbine Mile last year as a three-year-old and then wrapped up the season winning the Breeders' Cup Mile as a three-year-old, was making the 2023 debut. But it was an upset. We'll watch the stretch run here. And Shea Pierre, who kind of battled early with Dr. Zempf, Shea Pierre took the lead, the number three horse, and is going to pull away here and get it done pretty easily at 9-1. Modern Games, the number seven, is going to wind up running second in here. But again, a well-beaten second, over three lengths behind as the 2-5 favorite. Up to the Mark runs third. Shea Pierre, and again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Another notable was went into the gate at a big price and eventually got knocked down to 9-1. 12-1 on the morning line. It's Arnaud Delacour and Lael. But it is notable. The horse came in with five wins and six starts. Won the first five of the career and then tossed in a little bit of a clunker down at Tampa in a stake back in February to start the 2023 season. And so maybe got a little bit overlooked because of that, because the last start before that was in April of 2022. So comes back in the five-year-old debut isn't much. Arnaud Delacour after the race, though, said the horse was just a little keyed up, a little too fresh going into that Tampa race and just, benefited from that under the belt, and they were expecting a better performance. They got it. The late bettors also expected better going into the gate at 24-1 and coming under the wire at 9-1. That's part of the story as well. And even the racing form recap mentioned the odds change. But you still wound up, if you like the horse, at $20. Modern Games run second. After the race, Charlie Appleby a little bit disappointed, but he said, horse ran well, just got going too late to catch the winner. Appleby said with Modern Games, they'll probably head back to Europe and then work their way back from the Breeders' Cup. The ultimate goal this year will be to return to the Breeders' Cup out in California, and they'll work their way back. It'll be interesting to see if they, make some trips here or at least a trip here in the meantime, because, as I say, last year most of the campaign was in Europe but did win the Woodbine Mile and the Breeders' Cup Mile. So I would think it's not totally out of the question that they'll return to the United States at some point prior to the Breeders' Cup. This horse also won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf out at Del Mar in 2021. So has come over here and done so successfully until yesterday, and then upset. And again, ran well, just not having enough to make up the ground behind the winner, who just was a little bit off to the races prior to Modern Games getting in gear. A little bit earlier on the card, didn't pull up the replay, but a little bit earlier on the card, it was a Wesley Ward exact in the limestone. $250,000 up for grabs for Turf Sprinters. And Love Rains, who went off as the 5-2 choice. Boy, makes a late run and just got up there over Lady Hollywood. And again, it was Wesley Ward over Wesley Ward. 5-2 over 3-1, and you saw Wesley Ward exacta. You wound up with just under $30, and the Wesley Ward exacta sprinting on the turf. These are the kind that, in hindsight, say, "How did I not have that $30 exacta a bunch of times?" But again, it was a nice performance for Love Rains, who is relatively lightly raced as a 3-year-old for Wesley Ward. Had started the career at Keeneland last year about this time. You know, Wesley Ward's world is certainly the 2-year-old turf sprints in the spring Keeneland meet, and this one was successful there. From that, they sent the horse over to Royal Ascot, ran fourth in a huge field. I mean, it was a good fourth in the Queen Mary. Came back from Royal Ascot, wasn't seen until Saratoga, won the stakes race at Saratoga, and then raced against the boys last year in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint and wound up running eighth as the favorite in there. But seasonal debut, nice performance for Wesley Ward and Stone Street. Again, only the fifth career start for that one. So we'll see what is ahead for Love Rains sprinting on the turf. But certainly big things, I would think, will be in the offing for Wesley Ward, Stone Street, and Love Rains. I pulled up, I have here on my computer the article from Ron Gierkink, a friend up in Canada, covers Canadian racing, mainly Woodbine, for the Daily Racing Form. And a couple days ago, they came out with the Sovereign Award winners, the Sovereign Award being the Canadian equivalent to the Eclipse Awards. And they had the ceremony on Thursday night. Horse of the Year in Canada was last year's Queen's Plate winner, Moira, who not only won, she outpointed Lady Spitespear for Horse of the Year, but she was also the overwhelming winner of the 3-year-old filly title, not surprisingly, given that she wound up to be Horse of the Year. But also, Mark Cassie is named Trainer of the Year up there, and I'm just looking for the count. Yeah, here it is. Cassie just edged out Kevin Attard. Kevin Attard, who trained the Horse of the Year, Moira, 105-102 in the voting, but Mark Cassie is named the Sovereign Award-winning Trainer from 2022, and according to the article, Mark Cassie has been named the Outstanding Trainer, Sovereign Award winner, 15 times, a crazy number. So congratulations to Mark. And again, you can look up all the winners up there from Thursday night via the Daily Racing Forum article, Ron Gierkink. I'm reasonably certain if you went to the Woodbine site too, they'll have the list of the winners. But again, congratulations to Mark. Congratulations to everybody involved with Moira being named the Canadian Horse of the Year. And right around the corner is Woodbine Racing. I know a lot of our fans enjoy it. It looks like we will be back north of the border this year. I was talking to Shannon from the marketing department. It looks like we have a little sponsorship partnership again with our friends up at Woodbine. I tout it all the time. Obviously, with the last few years in the pandemic and the border had become a little bit of an issue to get back and forth. But as with things easing and whatnot, I will again push and remind people, fun trip to go up to Woodbine, and it's a really nice facility. They treat you very well. If you love turf racing, you've got the two turf courses, but more importantly, the course on the outside is turf. And I relate this all the time. Because it's on the outside, the stretch is much longer than normally we're used to. And I can remember the first live trip we made up there, I had wagered on one of the turf races, and I was in the grandstand watching the monitor, and as they came around the far turn, my horse kind of made a great move and moved up to the lead, and I thought, I'm there. And I subsequently, there was like five steps I could walk down, go through a door, and I'd be outside, and I could go outside and watch the stretch run. So I'm looking at the TV monitor, and my horse moves to the lead. This looks good for me now. I walk down the five steps, and I realize, oh, they have... This is not a done deal. This is still quite a long stretch to get it done, but it's fun. As I say, great turf racing. They treat you very well, and it's an easy drive. You hop on the throughway, you go up to Buffalo and take a right, and you're 45 minutes or so from Woodbine. And if you time it right, if you play it, pick the right time of year and whatnot, you can swing back and stop at Fort Erie. That's right along the way as well. That's a fun little track. That's a kind of a funky little track. Their infield is, there's like a little forest in there. There's the one race, the Puss in Boots, I think, the one race every year where the winning connections jump in the lake in the middle. But it's a lot of fun. There's a little tiki bar down on the apron, and Fort Erie is fun. But again, depending on how you time it, maybe swing over and catch a little Finger Lakes action as well if you space your time out. So, again, recommended to maybe swing up and catch a little Woodbine action if you've never been there before. We thoroughly enjoy it, and it looks like this year, once again, we'll make a return. It's been, 3 years since we've been up there again with pandemic and whatnot. But it looks like Woodbine Mile out in September. We'll be doing some live action up at Woodbine. Looking forward to it because, again, have a great relationship with all the folks up there. And always fun to stop up and cover things live. And hopefully you all appreciate that as well. Talked a little bit about it. And, again, not really going to talk about it with any of the guests, but do want to remind folks that we're going to talk a little Oaklawn with the Apple Blossom. We're going to talk some Laurel with the Tessio, but also a very nice day at Keeneland with the Lexington highlighting the card. There are Derby points up for grabs, but there's really only one horse that may take advantage of that. The winner walks away with 20 points, and Disarm, that would make a difference for Disarm. I printed up the Derby points. And there was an article, Racing Form, I think, talking about the Derby points this year and how it's kind of shaken out. That you need a decent amount of points as compared to some previous years. And sure enough, at number 20, actually number 19, 45 points. That's the cutoff at this point. I say number 19 because number 20 is Continuar. That was a horse that won a win in your in race in Japan. But then Skinner has 45, Cyclone Mischief has 45, but by the, the tiebreakers, they're just on the outside looking in. Disarm is at 26 with 40 points. So again, if he wins today, the 20 pops him in. And in fact, if he runs second today, I'm pretty sure second is 8 points, that would pop him in as well. But he's pretty much the only one in the mix this afternoon looking to take some points out of the Lexington and move forward into the Kentucky Derby. But again, nice card at Keeneland today, highlighted by that Lexington. So keep that in mind as well. And we'll have all of that action here on the network. Coming up a little bit later on, I'll be back for OTB Live, taking a look at Oaklawn, Keeneland, Aqueduct, and more. So you can look forward to that a little bit later on. But now we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Jim Byers from Oaklawn. We'll talk a little bit about the Arkansas Derby from a couple of weeks ago, and we'll get some thoughts on some of the stakes action on this Saturday afternoon. A little bit later on, John Piasek taking a look at the Tessio and some of the other stakes at Laurel on this Saturday. So stay tuned. All of that right after this.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, joined now by the track announcer and handicapper on the pregame show with Nancy Holthus down at Oaklawn, Jim Byers. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Happy to have you on today. And one of the first things I have to ask is, I said to you as we were off the air, I said, I have your signal on here when I'm doing my afternoon show all year long, and I love Oaklawn, and so I'm keyed into the Oaklawn signal. It seems like the weather has turned for the better, but boy, you guys were snake bit this year as far as crazy weather. But it seems like the sun had, I said there was a draw for the Arkansas Derby, 3 weeks ago or so, and I tweeted out, the lighting seems strange down there, and then I realized, oh, the sun was out at Oaklawn. But as I say, it seems like things have changed a little bit for the better down there weather-wise.
Yeah, since Arkansas Derby weekend, for sure. Today could be a little iffy later, but we're hoping it's after the races. Right now it's just overcast and a little humid. There's a chance of rain later, but it could affect us very late in the card or afterward. But this part of the country, this time of the year, the weather starts to get really, really nice, but it can still be a bit unpredictable. But earlier in the year, for sure, it was muddy and sloppy tracks almost, you know, every week for sure, if not a couple of days a week.
Yeah, just it was really, really crazy. I mentioned off the air, I have a sister who lives in Northwest Arkansas, and so I'm familiar with how nice it can be, and hopefully that's the rest of the season down there. But I visited Oaklawn. I tout Oaklawn. I love the Oaklawn racing. I think you can find a lot of value down there and totally enjoy it. And give me your perspective from a guy up in the booth, because as I talk to announcers and have done so over the years, I know you can get a little feedback from the crowd, even being three floors up. And I would imagine, you know, looking at the Oaklawn signal and seeing, particularly on the weekends, a nice full apron, you're getting that kind of feedback. It's just got to be fun to be down there on some of those big days.
It really is. Plus, I can open the window here, which I haven't really ever been able to. Now, I don't open the window that's in front of me, but in the booth there's a window off to the side where I can almost hear conversations coming up from the apron, even though we're a few floors up. Reminds me a little of the very early days of my career in Southern California, where the weather was such that you could open the press box windows and you could really get a sense of the crowd, and when the big on-track crowds used to hit Hollywood Park and Santa Anita. And that's the way it is here. They turn for home and the crowd roars, especially on these Saturdays when there's big crowds. And it's a throwback for sure, back to the days when the on-track crowds were huge, and it still happens here on a regular basis.
And again, I tell people to go down and visit because we're up in the Saratoga area, and I think it has a real Saratoga feel, as does the city. You know, Hot Springs and Saratoga Springs, they had the similar, the springs attracted people, and then there were casinos coming in and maybe a little bit of a shadier crowd, but racetracks built out of that, both very popular now. So, again, it is very Saratoga-ish in the feel.
Yeah, you know, I haven't had the pleasure of being there, but that's what I've heard, and that's what it seems like. You know, a little smaller town atmosphere, but huge big-time racing and lots of people coming in from all over for the meet, and definitely the history of just, you know, the really interesting history of both Hot Springs and Saratoga Springs. So one of these days soon, I got to get back to Saratoga for the racing. I feel a little inadequate that as a guy that's been in the sport as long as I haven't made it there.
Yeah, I guarantee you will not regret the visit. And if you do ever make it to town up here in the summertime, we broadcast live from the backstretch every morning. So definitely get in touch and we'll pull you over and we'll have you in to talk live with us on the TV set out by the Clare Court training track. Love to have you do that. But let's jump it back now a couple of weeks, because as I said when I touted the visit at the top of the show, we'll do a little preview and a little review. And on the review side, we were down live at Gulfstream covering the Florida Derby a couple of weeks ago, and it was a nice performance by Forte, certainly, but not to be overlooked, the Arkansas Derby. And Jim, we're going to take a look at the stretch run here. I was perfectly happy with the result because I grabbed a little future pool on Angel of Empire at 38-1. So I was happy with this, and I liked Angel of Empire a couple of weeks ago in the Arkansas Derby at $11.40. Nice performance. What were your thoughts on the result in the Arkansas Derby?
I think he really moved forward in my eyes. Going in, I had him in my selections third, so I definitely gave him a chance, but I kind of fell for the bad trip of Reincarnate that he was coming back off of, and then the late closer of Red Route 1, who I fell for and put on top. But Angel of Empire was so impressive. You know, I don't know if they lined up and ran today, if I would, you know, if anyone can beat Forte at this juncture. We'll see how it goes on the first Saturday in May, but Angel of Empire was super impressive. I wasn't really sure how to view that Risen Star Stakes that he won, but his performance at Oaklawn was, I just thought, was terrific. You know, I'm not sure a couple of the favorites in that race really ran their race necessarily, but just viewed from with him as the focus, it was tremendous. So I think he's going to get quite a bit of attention come Derby time.
Yeah, I mean, the disappointment, I think, for me, and obviously for you as well, was Red Route 1, who just got off poorly and never really uncorked that late run that he's become known for.
Yeah, he put on blinkers for that, and it didn't speed him up, and it didn't necessarily make him rally more. Not that blinkers necessarily do that. I think they just didn't want him dropping so far out of it. But he just didn't pack his usual punch. And, you know, Reincarnate, I guess, was okay, but he just sort of came up a little flat in the stretch and just sort of chased them around there. And then a long shot, King Russell, was able to come from well out of it and finish second. So, if you view Angel of Empire in isolation, I thought it was just a terrific performance.
Yeah, and it was a 94 buyer, and the readjusted buyer for Forte was a 95, so he's right there. Practical move, I will say. I was on the radio this week, and I said, I'm not going to be shocked. The betting public these days focuses so much on buyers. I won't be shocked if Practical Move actually goes off as the favorite in the Kentucky Derby, off the two triple-digit buyers.
Yeah, I do. You know, it's interesting to see how people view buyers versus just general performance, and you know, how, because I noticed the betting trends here. Sometimes it looks like they actually, with all the money bet into the pools here, that they sometimes people go against the buyers and just, you know, go with other factors, whether it be a sharpness or the barn they come from or recent excellent morning works or whatever the case may be, a little bit more traditional handicapping approach than just the numbers. But, you know, it makes it interesting because obviously those figures have been honed over the years and are interesting to look at. Sometimes it's just a matter of you know, how much will they factor in who ends up going off favored?
Yeah, and you may be right. Maybe it is a little bit different down there. I think a lot of tracks, the buyers really do attract attention, and mm-hmm. to the detriment of the price and the handicapping as well. But maybe that's why I find more value down at Oaklawn. Maybe they are shopping around a little bit. Let's also talk a little bit about the Fantasy, which was also on that card a couple weeks ago, because Wet Paint, that was a nice performance. We're going to take a look at the stretch run here. And again, Angel of Empire may be behind, you know, on the betting public side of things when the Derby rolls around, behind Forte or Practical Move. But Wet Paint is going to be right up in the thick of things on the three-year-old filly side. She looked really good for Brad Cox in the Fantasy.
Yeah, she's just, in my eyes, is just brilliant and coming to hand very, very well. I mean, this is a filly that started at Kentucky Downs and was well beaten and then broke her maiden at Horseshoe Indianapolis, went to Turfway, so tried synthetic. But once she got to Oaklawn, it's just she swept all the points races for the Fantasy here. It seems like her victories keep getting more and more impressive. And in the Fantasy, it was bet as a one filly race, pretty much. I mean, she was 3-5 in that race and just, drop back, which is kind of her thing. And it was something to behold. So I think I have a feeling she'll be going off as the favorite in the Oaks, but she's certainly going to have my support in that race.
Yeah, so it was a very good weekend for Brad Cox. And speaking of the human side of things, I pulled up last night the Equibase stats, and I have them here on my computer. This is going to be kind of fun and interesting over the last couple of weeks. On the jockey side of things, Christian Torres has had a phenomenal meet, but he's only 6 ahead of Francisco Arrieta. So as we get down to the last, 2-3 weeks here of the meet, which closes on Derby Day down at Oaklawn, this jockey battle, I think, is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think so. Arrieta is riding with tremendous confidence right now, whether it's trying to get horses wire to wire or bringing them from off the pace. Not that Torres isn't. He's a very, very fine young rider and has made great strides in just a very few years. I think Arrieta will press him late. Who knows how it'll come out, but I'll say this. They're both riding a lot of horses. I think they're both, they say it's a, from the media accounts, a good-natured rivalry. They're good friends, but they're both riding a lot of, getting on a lot of horses to try to see if they can be the leading rider. I think it's a nice accomplishment to be the leading rider at a track like this, especially if you're at their ages. Torres in particular hasn't been around all that long, but two really good young riders, both riding with confidence. And Torres got a little banged up yesterday when a horse unseated him in the warm-up and then in the gate as well. And the horse wound up being a gate scratch. Thankfully, Christian was able to ride the very next race without any issue.
Oh, that's good, because now that you mention it, I remember I was sitting in here doing the handicapping show yesterday, and I had not seen the incident in the warm-up, but you mentioned it as they had the trouble in the gate, that it was the second time the horse had acted up a little bit. Yeah. Always good to know that the jock came out and worked out all well for everybody, particularly when you're in the midst of that kind of fun battle. As I said, the last couple of weeks I think are going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's take a look at this afternoon. A couple of nice stakes. One nice from just a fan perspective, maybe not betting, but I think one is going to be a fun betting race as well. The fan perspective race, though, the short four-horse field in the Apple Blossom, grade one event, $1 million up for grabs, mile and a 16th. Short field, and again, maybe not an intriguing betting event, but boy, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better field of four if you're going to wind up with that, because you have Clarier and Secret Oath in here, and they just faced off a few weeks ago. We're going to take a look at the stretch run to the Azari. I've always been a fan of Clarier. I like Clarier this day. The betting public was slightly in her favor as well. But Secret Oath looked really good for the coach, Dwayne Lucas. Secret Oath, the number one horse here. Clarier, the number three. They're back this afternoon. As I say, I've always been a fan of Clarier, but I had to land on Secret Oath this afternoon off of this effort. All of that said, in a short field, speed can be dangerous, and Hot and Sultry in the short field may be the one that tries to steal it. But what are your thoughts in the Apple Blossom this afternoon?
Yeah, I would expect that she will. She certainly was running relatively hard, Hot and Sultry was, right till the end of the Azari, and then got swallowed up a little bit late. Today's race is the same distance as the Azari. Hot and Sultry had never been the mile in a 16th distance. She had been a one-turn mile, but had not been the mile in a 16th. I don't know if I'd like her at all if this were, say, a 9-furlong race, but I still couldn't put her over the top two in here, but I do have a lot of respect for Hunt and Sultry, and she could be hard to catch because the field is otherwise full of fillies with Secret Oath, Clairiere, and I Feel the Need that all love to come from way off the pace. And one of those big mares is probably going to have to lay a little closer than they might normally, and that's probably going to be Secret Oath because Clairiere is a pretty much confirmed closer from farther back. So is I Feel the Need, who's a confirmed long shot in this spot. But Secret Oath was 5 lengths off the lead last time, but the Azari did have an 8-horse field instead of today's 4. I'm going with Secret Oath as well. I just think on this track, the way she's going, the way she came back from that layoff, I mean, they were both coming back off the Breeders' Cup distaff, Clairiere and Secret Oath in the Azari. So layoff-wise, they were very equal. They both can run fresh, although Clairiere particularly has shown running well fresh in the past. But Secret Oath, I thought, beat her fair and square. Clairiere probably benefited from that race and is a 2-time Grade 1 winner. You know, but Secret Oath has a Grade 1 win in her own right and some other graded wins as well. So I'm giving a slight nod to Secret Oath, but I agree with you. It's a great race from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, you know, and I've never thought about this before, but as I was looking at it, from an announcer's perspective, does a short field, like, I was going to say present a problem? That's the wrong word. But do you have to change your rhythm a little bit if there's only 4 horses?
Yes, especially if it's in an overnight race. In a race like this, there should be enough to talk about to fill any gaps that might come from the fact that you're going to get through them 1 through 4 pretty fast. It does affect your rhythm and your pacing. You can slow the call down a little. You can take a little better look at how they're going. You can watch what the riders are doing a little better. There's just room to breathe in a race like this. In an average race, if they're in an overnight race, if there's 5 or 6 horses, sometimes your preparation can, without wanting to, can lag a little bit, and you just don't have that, oh my goodness, I better prepare. There's 10 of them, or 11 of them out here, and your preparation sags a little, and then you start to get tongue-tied, or you just, you know, you start to get a little bit in your head. I don't think that'll happen in the Apple Blossom with the short field, but it does allow you the time to sort of watch the race as you're calling it instead of just recalling names and trying to just fight your way through the call.
Yeah, that's interesting. As I say, I never really thought about that before, but it is a whole different rhythm when there's a short field. But yeah, I'm on Secret Oath as well. Dwayne Lucas, who's having a nice meet down there with this one and the Last Samurai, just fun to see him kind of in the winner's circle and really representing the sport again in a fine fashion. A little earlier on the card, as I say, one of the races is going to be fun from a fan perspective, and the other one fun, I think, from a betting perspective. The Count Fleet sprinters at a nice full field of competitive sprinters. I'm going to pull up the replay going back to the Whitmore, middle of March. It's going to be number 2, Tejano Twist, getting it done over number 3, Miles Ahead. And I went back to Tejano Twist off of that victory. It was a 101 buyer. Chris Hartman having a very good meet, the aforementioned Francisco Arrieta on board. But Bill Mott comes over from the Florida base with the Frank Fletcher Candyman Rocket. Strobe on the outside for Brad Cox is interesting. Skelly for Steve Asmussen, who's having a very productive meet. And that's been fun to watch as well. Steve Asmussen and his son Keith getting some wins down at Oak Lawn. But what are your thoughts on the Count Fleet?
You know, I picked against Tejano Twist in the Whitmore, and I don't think I quite understood just how sharp he was and how good he was and how powerful he can close. And I quite honestly, I felt a little bit like a dunce. So that may set me up for a disappointment again, because while I have total respect for him and could easily see him win, I'm going to pick against him again today. I've got him second today. This is a bizarre race because just almost exactly half the field almost have to get it done on the front end, and the other half have to get it done from somewhat off the pace. and there's a real dichotomy between the closers and the sprinters, and that kind of scares me a little bit with the sprinters, because with the front running types. That said, I'm going with Strobe off the bench for Brad Cox. He's been heavily favored in every race he's run. The only race he didn't win was on a sloppy surface at Churchill, where he lost to a stablemate and knocked her down. There are questions about him. I think he can fire off the layoff, but can Strobe sit a length or two off the lead and keep an eye on them from the outside and rally? Can he beat this quality of horse? I mean, he's not been in the type of races that Tejano Twist, for example, has been in. But I think maybe he can. He'll need to move forward, both in level of competition and in the ability to rate perhaps a little bit. But there's some unbelievable speed in here, early speed, and I don't think Strobe's going to make the lead, so I'm going to try him. But Tejano Twist is going to be tough. He's really going good right now.
Yeah, on the morning line, Tejano Twist 5-2, Strobe at 7-2. I'm really intrigued to see how the betting public winds up going in this race. I think it's, again, a nice, full, fun field in here in the Count Fleet. Jim, always appreciate talking a little Oaklawn. As they say, it's one of my favorite tracks, and we have a couple more weeks of Oaklawn racing left. Appreciate the perspective, not only in this afternoon, but a couple of weeks ago. Wish you and everybody a good afternoon down there, and we'll talk again.
All righty. Thanks so much. Appreciate your work. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate yours. Jim Bowers, Byers from Oaklawn will take us to a break. We'll come back. John Piasek from the Maryland Breeders Association will take a little preview of the Tessio and more this afternoon at Laurel. Stay tuned.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, John Piasek from the Maryland Horse Breeders Association. You can also see his work occasionally over on the Racing Biz, Frank Vespi's very nice coverage website of racing in the Mid-Atlantic. But we'll talk a little Laurel today with the Tessio and more. Playing into Preak this weekend, certainly. John, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How you doing?
Very good. And I said playing into Preakness weekend. And I kind of like this. I said on the handicapping show earlier, because I didn't have the PPs in front of me, and I said, it's not win and you're in. And then it dawned on me. Win today and you're in May. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great phrase, a great way to ensure some local participation in the Preakness. Got a bunch of locally based horses here, including two Maryland Reds, trying to become the first Maryland Reds to run in the Preakness since Always Mining in 2019, and really all of today and next Saturday too, is pretty much a Preakness weekend preview. A lot of these horses we'll see in Baltimore in about 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, again, we're at that point in the season, Triple Crown, Derby right around the corner, and then on to the Preakness. And love the racing at Laurel. There's great turf racing down there as well. And before we get into talking a little Tessio and some of the stakes on the card otherwise, what's the weather look like today?
Well, right now it's mostly sunny skies. Have not seen a track condition yet, but I would imagine it's fast and good is my guess. Chance of thunderstorms later today. That being said, the threat is not as high as the forecast promised yesterday. Fingers crossed it stays dry and get some great racing.
Nice. Like it. All right, let's jump in and we'll kind of work our way back from the Tessio, the Federico Tessio, $125,000 up for grabs for the three-year-olds. And again, the winner gets a berth at the Preakness. This is a nice field of nine in here. I pulled up the obvious players, pulled up a replay of the Miracle Wood from February 18th. It'll be number five, Coffee with Chris, over number three, Prince of Jericho. They're back in this afternoon. But Circling the Drain for Brittany Russell, I think, is intriguing. 90% Maddie coming off a nice win in a stakes over at Park seems to be a player. And Perform is interesting to me off a maiden breaker at Tampa last time for Shug. Fun field. How do you see the Tessio playing out?
It really is a fantastic race. I mean, just about everybody in here has a shot. I ended up picking Coffee with Chris on top, one of the two Maryland breds in here. What I really like about him is he was not an original Triple Crown nominee because his co-owner and trainer, John Saltzman Jr., said he didn't think he could go a route of ground. But all year long, he's answered every distance question with ease. He won at seven furlongs towards the end of his two-year-old season, won at a mile in the Miracle Wood, two starts back, and had a tough trip on the outside in the private terms. He drew the outside eight, raced by the whole way, still held on, and finished second with a very good speed figure. Now he's drawn towards the inside. He'll be on or near the pace. Jamie Rodriguez keeps the mount. And you have to figure they would not have nominated him to the Triple Crown if they didn't think he could go at least a mile and eighth. And John Salzman Jr. is no dreamer. Him and his dad for him, who trained extra heat, they're very pragmatic people. Like, he wasn't going to put him in the wood, for example, so that he could go finish third and then go finish, like, 18th in the Derby. He puts him in spots where he thinks he can win, and this is a sign that he can go a mile and an eighth, and hopefully in a few weeks, a mile and 3/16.
And again, Prince of Jericho also, you know, coming out of the race that we watched there, it seems to be a contender for Brittany Russell. But the other Brittany Russell, Circling the Drain, is maybe a little bit interesting to me, being lightly raced and maybe with some upside potential still. And I'll toss out Brittany. I think it was her first grade one victory when she won the Carter in New York last week, a couple weeks ago. So you always have to pay attention to Brittany Russell down in Maryland.
Yeah, it was her first grade one win and also heavy on Toledo's first grade one win. The top trainer and top jockey in Maryland teaming up with a grade one boy at Aqueduct. Love to see it, and hopefully we'll see them in the Met Mile on Belmont Day. I know Brittany had talked about that as a target. And the team up here on Circling the Drain, who was third last time out in the five of terms, turned in a nice win in a first level allowance, two starts back. Granted, that race set up well for him and it was a pretty soft field, but he raced right every step, kicked away well enough, turned in a better late pace figure last time in the private terms. Watch going to close in off a pretty slow pace. I think Prince of Jericho is going to be over bet, and while Sheldon Russell did take the mount on Prince of Jericho, heavy on Toledo and Brittany also have a good rapport together. I think 8-1 on Circling the Drain, if you get it, that's good value.
Yeah, I thought the horse was interesting too. I'll also toss out Prince of Jericho will be running in the silks of part owner Michael Dubb, a guy we think of as a New York guy, but this horse has been down with Brittany Russell at Laurel throughout the career, so that's a little bit interesting as well. All right, let's go to the Weber City Miss. Again, this is the three-year-old filly side of things. This also is a win in your end. This one, obviously, for the Black-Eyed Susan. I'm going to pull up a replay. Going back to early January, the Parks Futurity, number 10, the winner will be Girl Trouble. And Girl Trouble looks interesting in here this afternoon, the morning line favorite. Subsequent to this replay we're looking at, however, she ran second in the Ruthless and then third in a stake at Park. So this win was three starts back. That's maybe notable. Brittany Russell with a couple in here, Pharaoh's Baby Gal and Cats in the Timber. Your thoughts in the Weber City Miss?
Well, Girl Trouble third in the main line last time at 1-5, thanks to, in my opinion, kind of a strange ride from Paco Lopez. He had it on the outside as it turned for home. He had a clear shot to blow by the top two, but he moved to, in between horses. She kind of shied away from the horse out of inside, didn't quite go forward, and got beat by Social Success, who was a promising Pennsylvania bred filly in her own right, who we could end up seeing in the Black Eyed Susan in a few weeks. I think Girl Trouble should bounce back here as long as she has clear sailing, but she is 8-5 on morning line. Would not surprise me if she was odds on once again, and that's kind of a tough pill to swallow. I picked number four, Crypto Mama, on top for some Jersey folks. Co-owner George Hall and trainer Kelly Breen. This one has been stabled at Belmont Park, but shipped down here last time out on March 10th. Won a first-level allowance with a nice stalking trip, kicked away professionally, won by a length of 3/4, and ran an 86 on the Brisbane scale. In fact, with the exception of the Tempted, where she stumbled at the start, got rushed up, and didn't do much after that, she's improved her figure in every start from her debut, and she has positive two-turn experience. She won the in the White Clay Creek at Delaware Park towards the end of October. Definitely an encouraging sign in a field where really no one has established themselves going out of ground.
Yeah, and it's the third start of the season off of that win last time. And that win, you see a race like that, lifetime best buyer. I mean, maybe a budding horse for a course kind of an angle here as well that you could kind of hang your hat on. I thought Crypto Mama was a little bit interesting also. In the race just prior to Frank Whiteley, $100,000 up for grabs. They'll be going 7 furlongs. Another horse with some New York connections attracted my attention, Bank It. I pulled up the New York Stallion Series race from early in December. Bank It is going to be the number 8 horse in here getting it done. Subsequent to this race we're looking at, ran a close-up third in the Safe Florida Sandy and a close-up second in the Haynesfield. But does have a start down at Laurel that was a win in the Campbell back in 2021. So I'm appreciating the morning line of 6-1, and I think Bank It's interesting. Yodelie-Ehu for Jamie Ness could be a player. Witty, informative, Eastern Bay factored in. I think you can point, Al loves Josie. I think you can point to, as I say, 4 or 5 that are contenders in here. What are your thoughts in the Whiteley?
This is a fantastic field. It's pretty much a Mid-Atlantic sprinting all-stars lining up in this group. I do like Bank It a little bit in here. I picked him fourth. I actually saw him break his maiden at Saratoga back in 2018. Definitely a hard-knocking type. He's earned almost $1.3 million. He's been in improving form since coming back off the layoff in early December. I think he's live. I ended up picking Al Loves Josie on top. I was very excited to bet him in the Not For Love last time out, but he was scratched. He's won his last two starts, both in upper level allowance company, both times racing on or near the pace and kicking away very strongly late. He's a very strong middle punch. This is going to be a class test for him, but we know he likes track. He's trained by local people, Jerry Robb and Xavier Perez in the saddle. One thing that's interesting about him, too, is there isn't a lot of other confirmed speed in here. There's a lot of horses who like to be near the pace, but the only one in here who I think will reliably gun it is Al Loves Josie. He went gate to wire to win 2 starts back. I think the X-Man is going to sense that there isn't a lot of speed in here. Send him, and if he gets the right fractions, he could be long gone.
Yeah, you're sitting at 6-1. Bank It's sitting at 6-1. This is another one of those races today where I'm going to be very interested to see where the betting public actually winds up as they go into the gate. But again, a fun group in the Whiteley. And finally on the stakes card today at Laurel, the Heavenly Cause. These are the ladies going 1 mile for $100,000. I pulled up a replay of the Nellie Morse going back to the middle of February. It's going to be number 2, Hybrid Eclipse, getting it done. This one off of that victory comes in for Brittany Russell, looking good to me today. Jump Into the Fire, seasonal debut off a long layup, but tends to show some early speed and was showing some good workouts at Keeneland. Past the Champagne for Randy Hill, George Weaver and company, 3rd start of the season, could be interesting. And Beth's Dream for Barboza, coming up from a race most recently at Gulfstream, an interesting player as well. This is another fun field. What did you see in the Heavenly Cause?
as you said, another great group in here. I ended up picking Pass the Champagne on top. I really like to start two starts back, in particular, in the way we last the Tampa Bay Downs. First start off a very long layoff, fought hard all the way on the lead while wide, lost by a head. We had a big figure. Finished fourth in a Bobo Fritchie last time out. It didn't have that much of a late kick, but did finish behind some very nice horses, including Swaying To and Fro and the defending Maryland Red Horse of the Year, the Desprez. And also third-place finisher Moody Woman came back to win her last start. Plus seven furlongs might be just a little too short to pass the Champagne. Think stretching out a little bit should help her, and going third off the layoff is always a good sign.
Yeah, I agree. She is very live in here. Another one where I'll be interested to see the odds, though, if the 7-2 morning line holds up on Hybrid Eclipse, that one looks intriguing to me. Fun. A fun group of stakes this afternoon. And that Heavenly Cause kicks off a pick five, which will include those four stakes races and the Tessio playing into, obviously, the Preakness a little bit later on, the Weber City Miss potentially playing into the Black-Eyed Susan. Worth a look this afternoon at Laurel. John, as always, appreciate the visit, appreciate the thoughts. Wish you and everybody a good time down at Laurel this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, Seth. Should be a great day today.
Appreciate it. John Piasek, again, Maryland Breeders Association, looking at a fun afternoon down at Laurel with some implications on the Triple Crown Trail, you know, a month or so away. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America. Before I do that, I do want to get my sheet here with the promos. A couple worth noting. First of all, if you're out in the Herkimer area, Pete's Easy Bet. It's a Fan Appreciation Day. Stop by Pete's. Let us say thank you to you for your patronage. Fan Appreciation Days are always a lot of fun. Food, vouchers, contests. So again, if you patronize Pete's Easy Bet in Herkimer, stop by this afternoon. So again, we can show our appreciation to you. Tomorrow here at the Clubhouse Racebook, it's a $100 Play the Board contest. So if you stop by the Racebook tomorrow, Sunday afternoon, maybe you get a little extra something to be smiling about on the afternoon. So keep that in mind for tomorrow. Otherwise, I mentioned on the handicapping show earlier, if you are watching via YouTube, and I know looking at the numbers over the past few months, the numbers have increased. Don't forget, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and that helps kind of move the algorithm up, and we then get suggested to more and more people, and the audience can grow that way. So if you do happen to be watching on YouTube, hit subscribe, hit like. We would really appreciate it. And we appreciate you tuning in, regardless of where you're tuning in, YouTube, or if you're watching us the regular way on cable, or some people watch via the website, capitalotb.com. We stream the morning programming there as well. We always appreciate everybody tuning in and get a lot of great feedback from people, which we appreciate as well. All right, I'm going to step out, but I'll be back in an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. Fun Saturday afternoon, as was evidenced by the programming this morning. Hopefully we gave you some good ideas and got you ready to go for a good afternoon of racing that has some at various venues. Lexington, Tessio has some Triple Crown implications going forward as well. And again, the Apple Blossom, short field, but with Clarion Secret Oath, that's going to be fun. And then the lone kind of speed in a short field, it'd be fun to see how that race plays out also. So tune in for that this afternoon. But again, we appreciate your tuning in this morning. Seth Merrill, Racing Across America on a Saturday morning. Always have a lot of fun. Hopefully you did as well. Again, we'll be back in about an hour or so for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.